Please turn to 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, page 367 in your Schofield, 366 in your Schofield Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll be reading just one verse in this passage, that we'll be turning to other verses after we read this one. May we please stand, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. I ask you please just to join me in the reading of this fourth verse. Ready? And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Turn now to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3. Page 1275 in your Schofield Bible, page 1275, chapter 3, we'll read verses 14 through 16, the text verse being the 15th verse, along with 2 Samuel 12:4. We'll read these verses also together, please. Be ready to turn the page if you have the Schofield Bible. Starting with verse 14, ready? These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And let's pray. Father, great is our privilege, and great should be our delight at being here in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but especially here to know and to learn more of Thee and of Thy Word. We pray that tonight would be blessed of Thee in a special way. Give Holy Spirit power to our preacher. Holy Spirit power to our ears, our listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Father, as we come to the Word of God, give us, I pray, what You have for us in this hour tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The story we read a while ago is a very interesting one. And a very unusual one. Here we have a man who really wanted to help the poor. He was sincere in his desire to help the poor. He felt compassion on poor people. And a poor man came to him, and this man needed something to eat or needed provision. Well, this unselfish man, and I'm speaking tonight on the subject, unselfish selfishness. Unselfish selfishness. This man had a poor man who came to him, and he wanted to feed him. He wanted to give him what he needed, and so he came on a way to do so. He took another's property and fed him. Now, this man that cared for the poor, and I think he had a genuine love for the poor. I think he was sincere in his love for the poor. But he had a lot of cattle and sheep. And yet this man took one little ewe lamb from a friend, from a neighbor, and gave this poor man who came to him this one little ewe lamb. Now here is a real charity and selfishness in the same heart. Here is an unusual mixture of gold and clay in the same person. Now, I admire this man's compassion. I think it's wonderful that he wanted to help the poor. But I have some great doubt about the fact that he didn't use his own means to help the poor. He took something that wasn't his and gave it to the poor man. And that's wrong. That's selfishness. And the truth is, it's dishonest, and he was crooked in doing it. I admire this man's compassion, yet his means were dishonest. It's a wonderful thing that he cared, but it's not a wonderful thing that took somebody else's provision and use it to feed the poor. You know, it's a wonderful thing for a person to pay tuition for a poor child in school. I think that's a tremendous thing. Numbers of our people are paying tuition down at the City Baptist High School for young people who could not go to a Christian school. And then there are others of us who are trying to help in paying tuition for students in Hammond Baptist High School and grade school and junior high school and senior grade school and so forth. I think that's a wonderful thing. But it certainly would not be wonderful to do it with stolen money. Let's suppose that I was burdened about our folks down here at the City Baptist High School or Hammond Baptist Schools. And I said, boy, I want those kids to go to school. God bless those dear kids. And suppose I say, okay, then I tell you what, I know who's got some money. Russell Anderson has some money. So I'm going to take a trip up to Ypsilanti, Michigan tonight during the night. And I'm going to sneak in and I'm going to steal some Russell Anderson's money. And I'm going to use it now for a good cause. Not one dime will go for myself. I'm going to use it for a good cause. And I'm going to pay the tuition for poor kids. Now, my desire would be a good desire. My compassion would be a good thing. My desire to see young people go to a Christian school would be a good thing. But not with stolen money. That would not be right. Would it be right for me, Brother Bullard, to go to your house and steal some money? I stole all the money. It wouldn't be enough to help anybody do much. But would that be right for me to come and steal your money? Now, wait a minute, Brother Bullard. I'm going to pay a tuition. This poor kid, God bless this poor kid. His daddy is a drunkard and his mother's a harlot. And this poor kid hasn't got a chance in the world. And the only chance he's got is to go to our Christian school. Now, you wouldn't mind me coming and breaking your house and stealing, would you? You'd mind that. Well, Brother McKinney, are you going to be as narrow-minded as Brother Bullard? Would you mind me coming to your house? After all, this is a poor kid. Only hope he's got to go to Christian school. It'd be okay if he'd come break in your house, wouldn't it? Brother Lively, you got a lot of silver there tucked away in your house. And so I think that'd be okay. Now, how many of you think it'd be okay if I went to Russell Anderson's house or Jack DeCoster's house? And I snuck in lifted a window and crawled in through a window sometime during the night. And I got some money from Jack DeCoster and got some money from Russell Anderson and got some money from John Byler. If you're going to do it, do it. Do it up right brown, you know. And they said, Sam, so please catch me. What do you do? What'd you do? I robbed DeCoster's house and Anderson's house and Byler's house. And if I ever decide to rob houses, I think that'd be a good place to start. But please sit. Now, wait a minute. Amen. Why did you do that? Well, because I love poor kids that can't go to Christian schools. Now, would that be right or wrong? Tell me, right or wrong, out loud. Wrong. Exactly right. It's okay for somebody to have a burden for folks that want to go to Christian school, but it sure would be wrong to steal money and that money be used for the Christian school and to help them with money that wasn't mine that I'd stolen. That's exactly what this fellow did. Here's this guy came up and said, man, I'm poor. I got to have help. Hey, he said, I got just the right thing for you. I got a neighbor over here that's got a little ewe lamb. I'll go over and take that little lamb and give it to you. And, of course, I've got a big flock of them, but I wouldn't want to give up one of mine. And I'll take care. And this fellow said, boy, I fed this fellow. I saw if he hadn't met me, he wouldn't have been fed. Of course, he fed him with somebody else's lamb. And now let's suppose it. Now, I think it's a wonderful thing to care for an aged mother. I certainly do. My mother's not old, but she may get old someday. She'll be 95 in December. I try to help care for my mother. My sister does a much better job than I of caring for mother. Arlene takes care of most of the hard stuff, and I just take care of the money. But I do try to support my mother. But let's suppose that I said, oh, now I tell you what, my mother, it needs help and needs some money. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over here to the Hoosier Bank tonight, and I'm going to rob the bank. Or I'll go tomorrow with a gun, and I'll pull a gun on one of the tellers over there, and I'll rob the bank. And because I love my mother, if anybody in the world deserves help, it's my mother. Now, don't you think that'd be okay if I went over to Hoosier Bank and robbed the bank tomorrow? How many think that'd be okay? Oh, how many think that would not be okay? Well, now, you're pretty narrow-minded. I'm trying to help my mother. You don't care if my mother starves to death, you dirty hypocrites. So you think you'd be wrong. Now, is it okay for me to want to feed my mother, yes or no? Is it okay for me to use stolen money to feed my mother with, yes or no? No. Well, I think it's a wonderful thing to give to the bus ministry. I love the bus ministry. And he's a wonderful thing. I was in, where was I last week? I was in, where was I last week? Pennsylvania. Yeah, Pennsylvania. And I told him, I said, I'm not here to preach. I'm starting a bus route here in this area. And so I thank God for the bus ministry. If it had buses when I was a boy, if churches had had buses, I'd have been a bus kid. And but I thank God for the bus ministry. So I think what I want to do. I'm gonna go down here and rob a Brinks truck tomorrow. I know where one route it takes, and I'm gonna get me a mask and put it over my face, and I'm gonna rob a Brinks truck and say, "Hey, stick 'em up! I'll blow your brains out unless you give me all the money in there." And they say, okay, here it is, because I am a fierce-looking person when I get mad. And so I get the money. Now, I bring the money back, and I say, "Here, Brother Young, here it is for the bus ministry. I got $16 million. Boy, we'll never have any troubles again. We can buy 4 buses with that." And, boy, and Brother Moffitt, I'm going to buy you one, too, by the way. Oh, I got $16 million for you and $16 million for you. And the police come and say, and I hear, and I can't do it real well. My is broken. But anyway, here comes the squad car. The guy gets out, and he says, "Hey, hold it, reach for the sky." I reach for the sky like that, and the fellow says, "Where are you? Is your name House? Where you been the last hour?" "I've been robbing a Brinks truck." "Come with me." "Now, wait a minute. When you find out what I'm doing with that money, you won't take me in. I am giving it to the bus ministry of the First Baptist Church of Hammond." And the policeman will say, "Oh, I didn't know that. That's okay. And God bless you. I'm a Christian myself. And yeah, that's okay. Now, how many think it'd be okay if I robbed a Brinks truck tomorrow in order to give the bus ministry? Raise your hand, would you please? All right. And yeah. Okay. All of those who are students are now ex-students of our college. And, but anyway, how many of you think it'd be wrong for me to rob Brink's truck to help the bus minister? Raise your hand, please. Thank God the honest people outnumber the crooks in this church. Okay. Well, I thank God for folks that pay their bills. I'll tell you, I think it's wonderful folks to pay bills. I'll say this. If you owe money, and you're not making arrangements to pay it, you're just not much Christian, that's all. And you shouldn't make debts you can't pay, and you ought to pay your bills, and Christian folks ought to pay their bills. So, I say, well, and by the way, don't you think that's right? Good to pay your bills? All right. So, I'm going to pay the bills. So, but I'm a little short on cash to pay the bills, and so I'm going to pickpocket. And I go out there to Marriott's Great America. I thought about doing it while I was out there the other day. And how easy it'd be to do it. So, I bump into a guy like this, and I say, "Oh, excuse me, sir." And I've got his billfold in my hand. You didn't know I could do it that fast, did you? Check and see if it's there. And, there are not many folks. Listen, you talk about the sleight of hand. I bet you can't transfer a billfold from the back pants pocket to this pocket as fast as I did. And you got to admit, boy, I didn't get it, but I sure changed it. And so I go to pick pockets. And it isn't long before I have a visitor come. And he puts me in handcuffs like that. I say, "Hey, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?" "Well," he said, "didn't you? Have you been picking pockets out at Great America?" "Yeah, I've been picking pockets. Picked 14 of them." "Yeah, boy, sure did. And paid off every debt I owe. You see, Ossifer, I believe that a fella ought to pay his debts, don't you?" "Well, yeah, I believe a fella ought to pay his debts." "Well, then, Ossifer, I tell you what. I believe in paying my debts. My mama taught me to pay my debts. My preacher taught me to pay my debts. And I pay my honest debts." But he said, "So, Ossifer, you understand, don't you, that I pickpocketed this money so I could pay my honest debts?" And Ossifer says, "Well, that's all right. Forget it. I didn't know that. I like to pay my debts myself. So I'll pickpocket a little bit myself with you. I'll go to Great America with you tomorrow. And that's a good place. You seem to have a good haul. Now, how many of you think it'd be okay if I pickpockets in order to pay my debts? Would you raise your hand, please? How many of you think it'd be not okay and I'd be a crook? Would you raise your hand, please? Well, the honest folks have it again. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing to help the deaf. God bless these deaf folks over here. We have in our church, we have the deaf and the dumb. Deaf are here, and the dumb are here. And so we have a ministry for the deaf and dumb in our church. But I thank God for the deaf. So I did what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to snatch a purse from some old woman. I mean, somebody like Mrs. Boardway or somebody like that. And I'm going to find an old lady. And I'm going to find some rich old lady like Mrs. Boardway's mother, and who's just filthy rich. Or is that just filthy? I'm not sure. But anyway, but somebody's just filthy rich. And so I'm going to snatch some purses. Well, here comes another ossifer to see me. I'm getting to know these ossifers on a first-name basis. And so this policeman comes, and he says, "Hey, what you been doing?" "I've been out snatching some purses. And, boy, I got one that had $3,000 in it. That Miss Carrico is loaded." And so, and then I got the other one from Miss Boardway, had 30 cents in it. And her husband pays her what she's worth. And so he says, "Now, what'd you do it for?" I said, "Now, look, Ossifer, we have in our church a deaf ministry. Miss, I wish you could go see them. Boy, oh boy, they sit back there and they sing. If you'd hear them saying, 'Jesus loves me.' No. Yeah. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah. If you, oh, Ossifer, if you could just hear them sing, I'll tell you what." That's why I picked, I snatched the purse and got the $3,000. Not for me now, Ossifer. I'm doing it for the deaf folks. Thank God for the deaf folks in our church. And I look over and I see the ossifer crying. And he's, "Oh, that's one of the most beautiful stories I've heard in my life. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go snatch some purses with you. Thank God for purse-snatching preachers." And now, how many of you think it'd be okay if I snatched a purse so we could feed or help the deaf? Would you raise your hand, please? Think it'd be okay. All right, the deaf folks all think it'd be okay. And so, how many think it would be wrong? Would you raise your hand, please? Well, I'm glad we have some honest people. Then we also have the deaf. And so, well, I say, so let's suppose I thank God for the Spanish ministry. They're having a meeting tonight of their own. They're having some kind of a conference, and we let them out of the service tonight. Oh, but mucho gusto for los españoles. Thank Dios por... muchachos y muchachas, and you students that are new here, it's amazing, isn't it? The brilliance that comes through when I preach. I a linguist and just most any, oh, so many talents. But anyway, so thank God for the Spanish work. And so what I'm going to do, I'll tell you how I'm going to help the Spanish work. Christmas is coming up pretty soon, and I'm going to go down with Brother Colston. You go with me, and I want you to walk up to every one of these little Salvation Army folks ringing the bell, and I want you to flirt with the gal that's ringing that bell, you see. And maybe she'll ring your bell, too, you know. And I want you to flirt with that gal, and while you're drawing her attention, I'm going to scoop that money up, put it in the sack, and then we'll make a getaway. And you know why? Because, boy, we want to get these Spanish folks saved. Bless God, I want to get these Spanish folks saved. And so we make a big haul, and once again, the Chicago's finest comes and says, "Hey, what you been doing?" "Well, I've just been sort of lifting the pot. That's what I've been doing." "And what for?" "Well, Ossifer, we have here in our church a Spanish ministry. Oh, if you could just see those folks. I mean, muchachos es muy bonita y muchachos es muy feo. Estudio español en escuela, pero no conozco español muy bien. Mi español es muy mal." And the Ossifer says, "That's beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful." He said, I tell you what, I'm a tenth Spanish myself, and I got a great-great-great-grandfather who's a Mexican, and I'll tell you what, I just thank God for preachers like you, preachers that are concerned about the Spanish ministry. How I thank God for that. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, put her there, Reverend. I praise the Lord for your compassion." How many think it'd be okay if I stole the money from the Salvation Army to help the Spanish ministry? Would all you Spanish folks raise your hand? All right. Now then, how many think that'd be wrong? Would you raise your hand, please? Well, you're a little bit narrow-minded. And but hey, I'll tell you what. I want to help some preacher boys to a Christian school. Boy, we need preacher boys. And if we ever find any here worth helping, we're going to help one of them. But I'll tell you, boy, wouldn't that be good? Okay, why don't all of us, let's help these fellows. All of us on the platform tomorrow. Let's go and find the houses where nobody is at home. And we'll go in and we can steal their television sets. And if something like that's done tomorrow, we'll all be blamed for it. But let's go out in Munster where all the rich folks live. But let's go out to Munster and we'll find folks that, better still, hey, let's get a list of folks that go to church on Wednesday night. And we'll go out there while they're not at church, and we'll rifle their house. We'll get all the little computers and little ad machines, calculators. Stay out of my preaching. And calculators and radios and television sets and posters and waffle irons. And man alive, hey, we'll have a garage sale. Big garage. I mean a big garage. And so we'll be there, all of us, with our Bible in hand. And we'll even witness to folks who come to garage sale. What do you say? And by the way, let's leave some gospel tracts in these houses that we rifle. They won't do. Because we're good Christians. And so you say, Brother Hyam, what are you talking about? Well, it's okay to help the Spanish. It's okay to help the preacher boys. It's okay to help a Christian school. But it's not right to steal to do it. Oh, I see. I'm glad that you think that. Then, suppose you stole my money. Suppose you stole my money to pay Christian school tuition, or to help some poor kid through school, or to help the Spanish department, or to help the bus ministry. You'd be just like this fellow here. Suppose you stole my money. Would that be okay? Yes or no? I wish more of you'd say that, because I don't want you stealing my money. Now then, let me ask you a question. Then suppose that you went to God's house and took some of God's money to pay the tuition for a Christian kid. Would that be honest? As crooked or more crooked than going robbing a bank? I'm saying that if you take a part of your tithe, because the Bible says in Leviticus 27 and verse 30, the tithe is the Lord. And if one dime of your tithe goes to pay the tuition for a poor kid, you are guilty of being a dirty, crooked thief, and you're robbing God Almighty. That means if you take one dime of your tithe and put it in the bus ministry and designate it for the bus. Now, if you want to give an offering, that's up to you. But if one thin dime of your tithe goes there, you're taking money out of God's house. And you're misappropriating funds, and you someday are going to face God Almighty for your crookedness and your misappropriation of money that you've taken from His house. Let's go a step further. Let's suppose that the plates are passed, and let's see, Brother John, let's suppose that the plates come by you tonight on the front row. And suppose you put in your tithe. And then you act like you're sick, you have to go out, and you go back on the back row and sit, and with the same plate that came by you, and in which you put your tithe, then you took your tithe out, or took that much money out, and gave it to the bus ministry, or the Spanish work, or paid the tuition of some poor kid, would that be right? Then pray tell me, what's the difference in not putting it in, and in putting it in and leaving it there, for 5 minutes or 2 minutes and taking it out. Now you listen to me. You hear me. If you do not give to the church of Jesus Christ, the house of God, 10% of every dime of your increase before Uncle Sam gets a dime, before your landlord gets a dime, if you don't give God, listen to me. If you don't give God 10% to His house, then you are more crooked than I would be if I stole money from the Salvation Army and gave it to the Spanish, or if I took old ladies' purses and gave it to the deaf people, or if I robbed a Brinks truck and gave it to the schools, I'm saying you have no right in this world. Listen, the tithe is the Lord's. 10% of everything that comes to you in the way of increase, it is already God's. And if you spend it for anything other than giving it to God's house, then you are misappropriating funds. You're a crook. You're dishonest. You're a cheat. And someday, God Almighty is going to hold you accountable, and He may not wait to the judgment seat. Don't be surprised when the little cry comes from the baby's room. Don't be surprised when the fever gets 105, 106. I want to tell you something now. Listen, if I had a little one, there's not any amount of money in this world that would let me risk the health and the safety and the life of my child by robbing from God and taking His tithes and using it for paying bills or even for a worthy cause of helping the poor or helping some worthy ministry. Now, it's time some of you folks got right with God. It's time some of you folks quit cheating. It's time some of you people quit being crooked. Listen, I mean, there are folks tonight in this room, if your child cheated on a test at school and admitted it, you would spank your child, and you ought to. But that's not one thousandth as bad as you having God's money burning a hole in your pocket tonight. So you're trying to get my money. No, sir, I'm trying to get you from being a crook. The tithe is the Lord. Well, you sit with the house. I think it's okay to give my tithe in to the poor. Well, you may think it's okay, but God doesn't think it's okay. The first tither in the Bible that gave God his tithe was Jacob. Now, there was a tithe given to Melchizedek, but the first tither that gave his tithe to God was Jacob. Jacob built an altar, and the altar's name was Bethel. And the word Bethel means the house of God. And the first Bible tither brought his tithe to what was then the house of God or the altar. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hiles, tithing is under the law, and the law has been done away with. Yes, and thou shalt not kill was under the law too. Try to do away with that. And thou shalt not steal was under the law. But the truth is, hundreds of years before there ever was a law, God Almighty led His people to give their tithes. The law was not given when Jacob tithed, and Jacob brought his tithe to the house of God. In Exodus 23 and verse 9 it says, the first of the first fruits shalt thou bring into the house of thy God. Now, in the patriarch's day, they brought their tithes to the house of God. In Moses' day, they brought their tithes into the house of God. Exodus 34, 26 says, the first of the first fruits shalt thou bring into the house of thy God. In Joshua 6, 24, this is when Joshua came, and now the Israelites are in the promised land. It says, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. In the time of the kings, in 2 Kings 12, 4, all the money of the dedicated things to be brought into the house of the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 9, the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. In Nehemiah 10:35, after the Israelites had gotten back from 70 years of captivity, God said, bring the first fruits of the ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of all the trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. In verse 38 of Nehemiah 10 it says, and the Levites shall bring up the tithes unto the house of the Lord. In Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You say, oh, you believe in storehouse tithing? No, I don't. I believe in church house tithing. I believe in house of God tithing. And if this Bible teaches that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God, and if this Bible teaches that Jesus is the Savior, and if this Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again, this Bible also teaches that the children of God historically have brought 10% of all their increase into the house of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Now, upon the first day of the week, that every one of you lay by him in store. Now listen, where did the people in the New Testament go on the first day of the week? They went to the house of God. So if God said on the first, if he had said on the second day of the week, I might have had some doubt. If he had said on the third day, I might have had some doubt. But God said on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. And they went to God's house on the first day of the week. Now you hear me? A child, a teenager, who makes $1 an hour for babysitting. You owe God one dime. No, you don't owe God one dime. One dime is God's. And for you to spend that dime is robbing God. You're a cheat. You're a crook. And you can't disprove that anywhere in the Word of God. And it's time that the people of God here quit doing worse than folks that rob Brinks trucks. And it's time the people of God quit doing worse than folks that pick pockets. And it's time the people of God quit doing worse than folks that steal old ladies' purses. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. From the time that you receive Christ as your Savior until this time, this very minute, every dollar you've made, a dime belongs to God. Now I'm going to say this. If you quit tithing for a while and started tithing later, you still owe God 10%, or it's His, of what you spent of His money. I mean, you're in debt. You just can't come in and out of this tithing at will. Well, I'll tithe again. Well, how about the money you've been robbing from God all these months and all these years? Now listen to me. You say, oh, why don't you preach the gospel? I'll preach the Bible, and in the Bible is what I'm talking about right now. We glibly say, well, we're not tithing now. I'll tell you what. If I find out one of you preacher boys doesn't tithe while you're in school, I'll guarantee you one thing. Not only will I not ever recommend you a church, but if I ever find out one you're recommended to, I'll call him and tell him that you're a dirty crook. We don't get this shouting on this, do we? But I want you to know I'm doing you a favor. Well, you said to the house, I'm a preacher, and I'm... One preacher came to our college and said, you ought to save your tithe while you're in college and give it to the church that you pastor someday or the church you start someday. Show me that in the Bible. Now, what is the house of God today? I'll read what the house of God is today in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. What is the house of God today? It's the New Testament church, what it says right here. And you are supposed to bring the first tenth of every bit of your increase to God's house on Sunday and give it as God's money to God's house. Anything less than that is dishonesty. And don't you spank your kid for lying at school. And don't you spank your kid for stealing from somebody at school. And don't you get all upset because your kid's locker's been through at school. And don't you get all upset because your child picked pockets or tried to get some. We had a man in this church. In this church was an usher. And he would help take the offering. And on the way to the safe, he would take money out of the offering plate. And he admitted to taking over $900 out of the offering plate. Of course, he doesn't come to church anymore because the church has changed, he says. He doesn't come to church anymore because he's a dirty crook that got his hands in God's coffers. And while he was walking from that door back there to the office area, reached in his hand and took hundreds of dollars of God's money out of the collection plate. He's a crook. I want you to know, so are you. The only difference in him and you, he took it out after it was in. You took it out before it was in. It sure is quiet in here. I'll tell you why it's quiet. Because some of you old fundamental, blood-washed, Baptist, independent Baptist people don't go to movies and don't smoke your cigarettes and don't drink your liquor and you don't go to disco, you don't play rock music, and you don't watch the dirty television programs, you don't watch the soap operas, all you do is get your hand in God's coffers and steal, you dirty crook. That's all that's wrong with you, and you are not a fundamentalist. I've got more respect for an honest man that goes to movies. I've got more respect for an honest man that plays rock and roll music. And don't you tell your kids not to play rock and roll music if you're taking God's money and using it for your own debts or for your own wishes. I don't like that kind of preaching. In this church, we don't have any vote on that. No wonder Malachi said, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Malachi couldn't understand how one who bears the name of Christ could rob his Savior. He could not understand how one whose body is the New Testament Holy of Holies could rob his Lord. Malachi couldn't understand why one whose name is written in heaven's county seat in the Lamb's Book of Life would rob God. Malachi couldn't understand why somebody whose soul is held by the nail-pierced hands of Jesus could rob God. Malachi couldn't understand how somebody with a position that moves angels to envy, redeemed by the blood, a child of God, blood washed, heaven bound, on your way to glory, a new name written in glory, how could anybody rob his Savior? Why, even the heathen didn't rob their gods. They made gods of wood and clay and stone. And for them, they built expensive temples and altars and shrines. To these temples, they brought their tithes and laid their tithes at the feet of gods made of wood and stone and clay. But no thief, a non-temple, non-worshipping thief, no thief would dare break in and rob the temple of Diana, of the temple of Jupiter, of the temple of Dagon, of the temple of Minerva. They wouldn't dare. Why? Even the pagan heathens have more respect for their gods of wood than many of you do for your living Christ. Malachi couldn't understand how we can rob our God. He's our Redeemer. Will a man rob his Redeemer? He's our Savior. Will a man rob his Savior? He's our Heavenly Father. Will a man rob his own father? He's our provider. Will a man rob his provider? Malachi couldn't believe it because of the goodness of God, nor could he believe it because of the punishment of God. And I want to serve notice on you right now. Many a little baby's body rest in babyland in the silent city of the dead because of moms and dads who took God's money and spent it on their own way. I thank God tonight. I thank God. My mother, when I was 10 years old, I got my first income, a paper route, Dallas Morning News, 33 customers. Got up at 3:30 in the morning, went up to Lancaster Avenue and Marfa, there on Marfa and Lancaster and Garza, and got my papers at 3:30 in the morning. Folded those papers and put them across the handlebar of a bicycle and took off down to Lancaster, Ann Arbor, and on down to Ann Arbor till I got to Fernwood, and on Fernwood till I got to Rio Drive, and a paper route. And the first week I came back in, I made $3. And my mother said, "Son, I want to give you 10 dimes for one of those dollars." She said, "Now come to me." She said, "This dollar is yours, and this dollar is yours." And she took 7 dimes and said, "These 7 dimes are yours." She took 3 dimes and put them over here, and she said, "Son, those 3 dimes are not yours." And I said, "Why aren't they mine?" And she said, "Because the tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's." And my mother said, "Son, that belongs to God." I was so proud the next day on Sunday when I got my little envelope in my class. And I put those 3 dimes in that little envelope and dropped in the collection plate of the Fernwood Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. And from that day, 46 years nearly, every dime I've made, God has gotten a penny and more. And every dollar I've made, God has gotten a dime and more. And unless God has that 10% of your income, you're not honest. You see, you're trying to get money. Okay, then let's do this. Why don't you just let me have it, and just to show you I'm honest, I'll send it some other church for you. dare you receive God's abundant rain? How dare you eat God's food? How dare you in God's joy, God's sunshine? How dare you live on God's earth? How dare you breathe God's fresh air? How dare you receive the blessings of a mighty and loving and kind and forbearing and patient and long-suffering God? How dare you do that and at the same time rob him of that which is his? Sailors, every time you have a payday, 10% of that belongs to God Almighty. Every time you folks get a check from Washington, one dime of every dollar belongs to God. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when the brakes fail on a busy highway. I want to say this tonight. Every single child of God tithes. Everybody in this room tithes. I'll guarantee you that money that you steal from God, God gets it. He may get it in hospital bills. He may get it in doctor bills. He may get it in emergency debts. He may get it in fires at your house. But God is going to get the tithe. If you've gotten a sense, you'll go ahead and let him have it and get credit for it in glory. When you come to your deathbed, you will find that gold makes a hard pillow on which to lay your head. Ride a bicycle if you have to and sell your car, but don't rob God. Live in a tent if you have to instead of a house, but don't rob God. Wear hand-me-downs instead of new clothes, but don't rob God. Eat leftovers if you have to, but don't rob God. Sell your TV and your furniture if you have to, but don't rob God. Sell your wedding ring if you have to, but don't rob God. Sell your china, sell your silver, but don't rob God. You must rob a bank. If you must rob, break in a house, but don't rob God. If you must rob, pick pockets, but don't rob God. If you must rob, embezzle at work, but don't rob God. If you must defraud the government, but don't rob God. If you must rob, shoplift, but don't rob God. You owe from your allowance 10%. You owe from your salary 10%. You owe from your retirement check 10%. And just as was the case of our text, the poor will not be or not Bible recipients of the tithe. The church of the house of God is the Bible recipient of the tithe. Well, you say, I know preacher doesn't believe that. I don't care if you know 10 million preachers don't believe it. I got a Bible that says that they've always brought their tithes to the house of God. The house of God in this age is the New Testament church. Tuition. A Christian school won't do for your tithe. A donation to the bus ministry won't do. You know, change that. Here's a person. He gets a salary all year long. And he gives God 10%. Then on Christmas he gets a bonus. And takes the tithe of that and gives it somewhere else, designated to some particular ministry, as if that weren't real tithe. I'll tell you what. If you have an apple tree in your backyard, one-tenth of those apples belong to God. If you're raising tomatoes, one-tenth of those tomatoes belong to God. If your old sow has pigs, one of them's mine. And if your cat has 10 kittens, Brother Colston wants one. Now you hear me. It's time he came clean. He said, "Well, you sit in the house. I never heard you preach like this before. And that's why you're a thief. I won't come back here anymore." Won't you find your church of God robbers? The tithe is the Lord. 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 Giving the tuition won't do. Giving the Spanish ministry won't do. Giving the bus ministry won't do. You have no right in this world to steal God's money, which is supposed to be brought to the house of God, and use it for your own desire. Well, here's this fellow. Here comes a fellow that's poor. He has compassion on him. He wants to help him. He wants to feed his hungry stomach and clothe his cold back and put shoes on his bare feet. And he says, I've got a whole flock, but I know what I'll do. I've got a neighbor that's got a lamb. One little ewe lamb. And I'll get my neighbor's lamb and feed you. He straightens his self-righteous halo and takes money that's not his to feed this poor man, and God rebukes him for it. And you have no right to take money that's not yours to do something that's benevolent. Whether that money is mine, or the bank's, or a lady with a purse, or a man with a billfold in great America, or a bank vault, you have no right. No right at all. He said, I can't afford to tithe. That's like saying, I can't afford not to rob a bank. I can't afford. Listen, did you know when your savings account makes interest, 10% of the interest belongs to God? Any increase you have. What you say, preacher? Haven't you heard about the recession? Yeah, I've heard about the recession. But you have no right to come to my house and steal my money to pay your bills with during the recession. And you have no right to come to God's house and steal His money to pay your bills with during the recession. And it's every time in your life, you ought to be on the good side of God. It's why money is tight. And jobs are scarce. The tithe is the Lord. The tithe is the Lord. The tithe is the Lord. You take that little child when he gets his first dime allowance. Make that dime into 10 pennies or 5 pennies and a nickel. And you take 1 penny out of that and you say, that belongs to God. Like the fellow who went to Sunday school. His mother said, here are 2 quarters. He said, one's for you and one's for God. He said, you give one to Jesus when you get to Sunday school and buy you an ice cream cone with the other one. Little boy going down the street drops one of the quarters and it goes down in a hole, sidewalk, manhole. The boy says, there went your quarter, Jesus. I wonder how many wives or widows, because the couple chose to rob God. I wonder how many arms are empty of little babies because the couple chose to rob God. I wonder how many hospital bills, needlessly, have been spent because God is going to get the tithe. Do you remember the story of the Jews when for 490 years they did not observe the Sabbath day? For 490 years. And one day God said, okay, I'm supposed to get 1 day out of every 7. I haven't gotten 1 day out of 7, so I'm going to send the whole nation to bondage for 70 years. And that's the reason the Babylonian captivity was 70 years, because God's getting all his Sabbaths at one time. God's going to get all this tithe at one time, one of these days. And you're going to end up bankrupt. Are you going to end up with a broken heart? Are you going to end up with an empty crib? Are you going to end up without your husband, without your wife? Now, I'm not saying everybody had a baby that died because they didn't tithe. I am saying many babies have been taken to heaven because moms and dads robbed God. And I'll dead sure tell you one thing. You preacher boys, and not giving God 10% of your income, I'll dead sure tell you one thing. Don't you expect God to bless somebody that robs his house. I'll guarantee you, you don't expect the blessings of God. It's time God's people came clean with God. Time you said in your heart, with the grace of God, I know it's wrong. Take God's money from God's house and use it for my own wishes and desires, even though those desires and wishes are benevolent ones. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is...